Hello, this is my Holy Week diary for April the 14th, 2025. Today is Monday in Holy Week. This is a reading from Luke chapter 21, verses 9 through 18. Jesus said, "When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first, but the end will not follow immediately." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes and in various places famines and plagues, and there will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. But before all this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance, for I will give you words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed, even by parents and siblings, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls." Here ends the reading. Between his entry into Jerusalem on Sunday and his arrest the following Thursday, Jesus was in the temple courtyard every day teaching. Invariably, questions about what would happen in the future arose. People understood that the advent of Messiah would be a monumental shift in history, but how would it all play out? How would God bring about the fullness of time? By the time Luke's telling of the Jesus story was written down, the temple at Jerusalem, indeed all of Jerusalem, lay in ruins. It had been destroyed by the Roman army in order to put down the Judean revolt in 70 Common Era. Many in Luke's community would have possibly already experienced persecution in one form or another. Some may have already been arrested, or worse, put to death for their confession of Jesus as God's anointed. Of course, these words of Jesus have been used by apocalyptic preachers for millennia to warn Christian audiences about the end of the world. The images in the text are foreboding, and the consequences for believers are depicted as dire. No doubt every generation has worried about the future. I can remember, as a person whose childhood was in the 1960s and 70s, the threat of nuclear war felt like the sword of Damocles. Every preacher that came through my little Pentecostal church screamed at us to get right with God, for annihilation, as they saw it, was just around the corner. All these years later, as I read the text in a different moment in history, I wonder what these words mean given the wars in our world, the continuing threat of nuclear weapons, and what I see as a moment when American democracy seems to be stretched and strained in unexpected ways. The church has always existed in two worlds, ministering to the present one, whilst looking ahead to God's new heaven and new earth still yet to be revealed. These days, it's easy to become distressed and despondent about the state of the world, but I take comfort in the words of Jesus later in the 21st chapter. "Now when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." What I hear in these words is Jesus' admonition to his followers that we are called to a resoluteness and steadiness even when it seems like the world is falling apart. While I'm not suggesting for a moment that maintaining such a stance is simple or easy, I do believe the church in our day can take comfort in the faithfulness of those who have gone before us down through the centuries. In short, we can learn from their examples of faithfulness in the midst of adversity. As the old song goes, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. Take heart, dear listener. We are upheld by the one who has promised to never leave us or forsake us. And that's a promise which will endure past the end of time and into God's unfinished future. Let us pray. Almighty God, whose dear Son went not up to joy, but first he suffered pain, and entered not into glory before he was crucified, mercifully grant that we, walking in the way of the cross, may find it none other than the way of life and peace, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.